Mayor Heath Sheeran and the host of this podcast. Guys, thank you so much for being here today, hanging out with me and my man Chuck Akins. I am excited that he is here because he is a AI expert, a ChatGPT guy, he's a marketing guy, ex-mortgage guy. He knows our business, he's worked in the insurance space, and he's going to provide a lot of cool content here. I can't wait for you to check it out. Ladies and gentlemen, before I do, I got to talk to you about my good friends over at Smart Choice. They have recently hit a milestone of $11 billion in premium and over 10,000 users or agencies. And dude, they are just crushing it right now. And they are the fastest growing agency network for a reason. And they have a great contract. They have no fees. They have everything that you could ever want in a network. Make sure you go to smartchoiceagents.com and check it out. Also, my good friends over at Canopy Connect, they are your one-click solution to getting those deck pages that you need to quote your prospects. Now, guys, all you do is go to usecanopy.com, make sure you sign up, and then you send a customizable link to your prospects. They click that link, give you permission, and all of a sudden, you've got all their deck pages. All of a sudden, you've got their driver's list. You've got their vehicle list. You've got their loss runs in commercial. Guys, it's a game changer for your customer experience. It's a game changer for your onboarding experience. It's a game changer for your staff to take so much time off their plate and give them opportunity to do other things, like building relationships with their clients, with your clients. Guys, also my good friends over at Old School Marketing. Guys, you're going to make sure that you check out oldschoolmarketing.com. They are doing some game-changing things in the direct mail piece, digital marketing, so many other things for you. So what they're doing is handwritten notes that they're sending out on a drip method to keep your phone ringing all month long, all week long, however long you decide to work with them. Old School Marketing is the way to go. And if you use the code for InsuranceTown, you will get 10% off. Make sure you do so as soon as you can. OLDE, schoolmarketing.com. Now I'm going to get out of the way and let you and I have a good time here with my main man, Chuck Akins. Chuck Akins, what's going on, my brother?
Hey, having a good time out here in Denver, Colorado.
There you go.
Well, here's how it works in Denver. It snows on Friday. It's 2 feet deep, and by Sunday, it's melted, and we have 70-degree weather. So right now, we're at 70 degrees, but I'll go to the opening day for the Rockies. It's springtime out here, and then it'll snow this weekend. So
That's Friday, right?
That's what it's like. Yep, Friday.
That's awesome. Yeah, man, that's 2 o'clock Friday, I think, isn't it? Or something like that. I got some friends that are like going. That.
I mean, I don't expect them to win.
Right? Who's the face right now of Colorado sports? College, pro, all the above.
Boy, that's tough. You know, we shipped out Russell Wilson or kicked him out. I'm not sure which one they tried to make
right.
The face. You have Jokic, but he doesn't want to be the face.
Right.
That's a great question. You don't have a true – I know where you're going maybe. Try it.
Prime.
Yes, Deion Sanders, absolutely.
He's got to be the face. So, anyway, you know, my audience knows I love to get into sports talk, even though it's insurance town, not sports town. So – yeah, Mr. Chuck, I'd love to take a quick walk down memory lane and let the audience know kind of who you are a little bit and lead me up to where you are today, and then they can figure out why I brought you on here.
Yeah, well, my journey is it's kind of threefold. One, I'm a business person. Two, I'm a technologist. And third, I'm a marketer. But I started out as a finance guy. And how those three things came together, I started in mortgage, and I was helping people close on their houses. And I realized that they didn't know what they were doing. And I was doing so much talking, and the internet came along. I built a website. It was called Mortgage 101. I started getting realtors to hook up to it. And before I knew it, I was generating traffic, quit my day job. And I had a little internet mortgage business. I mean, this is Google didn't even exist. And the way that I marketed is I went out and I built some mortgage calculators and told realtors about it, and they linked to it. And I got all these backlinks. And, you know, without giving away the secret, which everybody knows now, Google loves backlinks. And so the first day I ever saw Google, I typed the word mortgage. My website was number one. it created a business for me that lasted a couple years, and I learned almost everything there was to know about internet at that point, how to code, how to run a business. It was my first entrepreneurial venture. I sold it and I started a marketing agency, and I helped all kinds of brands, big guys, little guys, startups, moms and pops, even international companies. I had a marketing agency for 15 years, sold it a year or two ago. And now, with no employees, I'm working harder than ever and making less money, but I'm enjoying every day of it because now I get to ride this next technology wave. I've been through the search algorithms and social media platforms. Now AI is changing the way that we market our businesses. And as a business person, a technologist, and a marketer, I mean, this is a great time to be in my seat. Every day is a new conversation, a new use case, and I'm loving it. So that's how I got here. A little bit of background: marketing agency, website portal, website development. But I bring all three things to the table. I'm not a marketer only. I'm not a business person only. I'm not a technologist only. But that little overlap of all three lets me, gets me out of bed every morning.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome. And I think the audience could probably tell, why I wanted to bring you on, as they figured out over the last several months. I've kind of gotten into this whole AI thing even more. And it's funny when people talk about the conversation of AI. There was a movie, I think it was called AI or Artificial Intelligence, way with Will Smith back in the day, maybe, or something like that. There's been evidences of talks of AI in movies for years now. And then there was The Matrix, and there was all these other things. But AI looks different now than what we, I guess, predicted it to be back then. And then now we've got generative AI, and we've got this, and everybody talks about ChatGPT, and everybody wants to figure out their own way of using it or not using it. And I'm under the impression, and the way I look at it, and you tell me what you think before we get into anything else, of like, it's not going anywhere. I think you have to embrace it as an agency owner, as an entrepreneur, as a insurance, professional, as a whatever professional, mortgage professional, whatever. You got to embrace it, or you're gonna be lapped by people who do if you don't. Is that on point at all?
It's 100% true. This is going to be a very binary case. And by binary, I mean black and white. There's going to be a group that leverage it and use it, and a group that doesn't. And there will be no in between. I mean, it's just you
Yeah.
can't half use it. I mean, you can today, but as we go forward, you either have to learn how to interact with AI and leverage it to some point. If you stay away from it because you don't understand it, you're scared, or you're not allowed in your company, which is the case sometimes, depending on, if you're in if you're in corporate America, I mean, you are going to fall behind. I'm not as worried about job replacement. There's always going to be a need for people and humans to do work, but the job that you're doing today is going to change, and it
Yeah.
will either become more integrated with AI or to become less. And like I don't see an in between. But that's true, and it's hard for people to imagine. When the internet came along, when social media came along, some of the same discussions were
Yeah.
had, and there's no way around it. 90% of the people use the internet. I don't know the 10% that don't personally. 90% of the people use social media. I mean, there are people that don't use it, but you have to get on board this train.
Yeah, and I mean, even to that point, I mean, my freaking 80-year-old father, still, is using internet now and on Facebook more than I am now. And it's funny that Facebook is started by college students in their dorm room, and now it's being used more by, the boomers and the older generation, and the younger people are like, oh, Facebook's for old people now. So even to that point, older, demographic, and I say that in, all respect to my father, but even, decades before me, they're using social media, they're using AI. I've got an Alexa in every room in my house. That's a form of AI. We've got our phones are listening to us and generating through AI search filters on Amazon. I'll look at Amazon and be like, I didn't even know I was looking for this, and I'm excited it's here, and I'll hit the buy button. It's crazy.
Absolutely, it is. Now, what's important as you use those examples, when you think about the internet when it first came out, I mean, I'd throw out on acronyms like ISDN and modems and command lines and config. I mean, like you had the early adopters of the internet were technologists. You don't do
Yeah.
that anymore. I just ordered internet and it shows up and it's protected, got battery backup, and it hooks up to my Alexas. I mean, everything just comes out of the box working. So just like the internet, AI is going to morph over time and how it's integrated. And there's definite buckets of AI that you have to think through. Most people, when they talk to me about AI, because I'm a marketer, they want marketing tricks. And I'm like, no, that's not where to start. Sure, it can write your blog post, it can write your social media post, it can do a lot of things, but that shouldn't be exactly where you start with AI.
Okay,
Because
so let me do this then. Why don't you tell me your audience that you're talking to right now is that we've talked about and you know about is insurance agencies, agency owners, producers, customer service reps, account managers. So where would they start? Maybe you talk to the agency owner, maybe you talk to the staff, but where would you have them start?
Well, the first thing I would say as an agency owner, you have to understand and interact with AI first yourself, and then decide how you want to bring it into your business. The analogy that I like to challenge, particularly smaller businesses with, is that do you have interns? Do you have assistants? Have you ever went on Upwork and tried to get somebody else to do something for you? That's how you first put AI to work. It's going to do things like read your emails for you, summarize a transcription. Like the first thing that you need to do is have a personal, I hate to say relationship, it's the wrong word. You need to have a personal use case where you are using AI, because the way that you talk to AI, and some people will call it prompts or prompt engineering, I think that's too big of a word. The way that you have to conversate with ChatGPT, chat being the imperative part of that, not the generative AI part of it, you are chatting, which restricts what it can do. You've got to know how to talk with it, just like you learn how to talk to a 25-year-old intern. You just got to practice, because you're going to say things, and just like that 25-year-old intern, AI is temperamental. It does not have personality, but it's temperamental. It will not do the same thing at 1 o'clock today that it will do tomorrow. And you have to start realizing how are
Yeah.
you going to talk to it, and what does it get back to you? Until you do that, like you never have a teen, I have a teenage daughter. You never know how to
Yeah.
talk to a teenage daughter until you have a teenage daughter.
100%. Yeah.
I mean, right? So that's my first thing, is you have to start just by interacting with it, and then you need to pick a use case. I mean, I started by having it summarize articles for me, having it make drafts of my emails. I have it do my client reporting. I give it a 10-page PDF and it pulls out insights. I just do things to reduce my stress and honestly get rid of the crap I don't want to do. That's a great place to start. And as
So,
you do that, you start to learn how it works.
yeah. So the way that you just mentioned some of those use cases you just used, is that, being used by like the free version of ChatGPT, or is that a paid for version,
Oh,
or?
great question. Let me break out some buckets for you. First, you can go directly to ChatGPT or Claude or Gemini or Copilot with Microsoft, and you can
Yeah,
have a direct
Copilot. I
interaction
found
with
that one.
AI. Great.
Yeah.
That is one bucket. Where you need to go next, there are a group of what I will call pain point products that do a very specific solution. So I use
Okay.
a product called Shortwave for my email. I have a product called Fathom that records my Zooms and builds my to-do list. I have a project management tool. So what you have is you have developers and small businesses on a whiteboard trying to bring AI to you through your software use. So that's a bucket. Then you have what I would say, bringing it into your business bucket. And this is where it gets a little tricky. And unfortunately, it's where people start because they're being sold. This is where all of a sudden Adobe has Sensei, or Microsoft pushes Copilot on you, or your project management system does something, or someone in your industry will try to become disruptive and say it can do this for you. And that's where it gets the most complicated. And the problem is that's where most people have their first introduction, is a complex use case that's trying to bring value and cost you money. And you have a team involved, and it's just like, whoa, you jumped into the deep end of the pool, right? Learn how to conversate with it, use a couple pain point products that solve a specific case for you, and then you'll be better equipped to say, all right, now I can solve a real business problem.
So, okay, at the lowest level, and this is where most people are starting right now that I'm talking to, and I can just say in my own household, ChatGPT. We've brought that up. There's a free version of it, whatever it might be. Now, that doesn't necessarily integrate with your emails and whatnot yet, but you could still use one of your use cases of writing email.
Yeah.
You could pull up ChatGPT and you could, all right, I want to write an email to all of my prospects, you know, mm-hmm. about this.
Yeah.
Or I want to write an email about this latest product from yep. Progressive or from whoever. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's dive into that. Because there's a right and a better way to do this.
Yeah, hit me with that.
Okay, the right way to do it, you sit down, you prompt it, it does something, gives it back to you. What's happening there is the large language model and all the machine learning of OpenAI or Claude or whatever it's going to be is solving your problem. Now, here's what's interesting there. And just so you know, that is a chat. And I'm not worried about privacy as much. That can be addressed. But what that tool is meant to do is to answer your question, and that's it. So one thing that people don't think about is that if you ask it a question and I ask it the same question, it gives us both the same answer. I mean, not exactly, but it's not built for originality. The goal of the programming is to answer your question. That's it. And it's temperamental. So what we need is personalization and consistency. Here's how you achieve that. And you can even use AI to do it. So when I start marketing for somebody, but this can apply to email, there's three or four things I need to do. And I need to document this. And then I'll show you why, because we're going to stack it into your query.
Okay.
I need to write down who my target customer is. Classic is persona. Who are you marketing to? If let's just say it's homeowners insurance. I'm marketing to homeowners. New home buyers. I want to get on new home buyers. Make a persona. That's number one. Number two, what about your business is your brand promise, right? What are you delivering to that homeowner? Is it, you know, whatever it may be, just write it down. And why are you different? You also need to establish your own tone and voice. What you're doing there, and I've got little tools that do this for people, but you're basically, whether you do it, and you can even go to ChatGPT and say, write these. The reason you need them is that you want the consistency every time you go to prompt. Who's my target? What is my business value props? And what's my tone? Am I more funny? Am I energetic? Or am I fashion? Right. Every time you prompt, you load those docs. What you've done is there's a billion pieces of data in the large language model. The way that you get it to be specialized and specific to you, and there's a little clip mark by the prompt. You may not have noticed it before. You just add the documents, and it before it answers your question, it loads them into memory. And it makes sure that all of the information that it gives back to you.
Are those docs like Word docs or are these Word PDFs?
Yep. PDFs. You can do text and Word docs. I prefer the PDF because that kind of locks it up, because then you can get PDF. And every time that they use ChatGPT, you make it a requirement. Now, the way this is going, and you could do it, some tools are starting to build permanent memory, meaning that you can load it into your library and it's just there. So you're kind of customizing ChatGPT. The way that I would solve it for you as a technologist is I would make you a custom ChatGPT that your team would use, and the documents are already preloaded. But all you're doing is just taking the large language model, giving it additional information, whatever you can find, FAQs, if you have service SOPs, whatever you can load into it, lets it do a better job for you. Go back to that intern analogy. If you brought on an intern, wouldn't you tell them who your audience is? Tell them how you want to write your emails. That's it. You're just training it. When people say they're training AI, that's all they're doing. They're just loading extra information to it to personalize it for you.
Yeah, it's funny. I went through an exercise to this point where when I was first starting to play with ChatGPT, I guess a year or two ago, whenever I first was introduced to it, and I wrote something in there, or I had it write something. Then I would say, you know, now let's change the... you know, the way it's written to the voice of a boomer. And then I changed it to the voice of a millennial, and then the voice of a whatever, just to see that it was the same information, but just the way it was presented.
Yeah.
Was really interesting to see. And so you could aim some of your content at millennials, so to speak, or the boomer generation, or at, you know, again, going back to that persona, I like that because I didn't know you could do that, or I didn't realize that was the best way of doing it. Save it in a PDF and then just preload that in. Yeah. And then when you ask, it just reads off of that document you put in. I like that a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
So
the method is, don't worry about the perfect prompt. Give it more detailed information.
I love that. Okay. And so then you could say, craft an email, and then you cut and paste that right into your emails and you're set.
Absolutely.
Love that. Absolutely. Okay. So there's that use case. Okay.
Yep. So that's your use case. Anything that you're going to generate text-wise at the prompt within a chat, I call it doc stacking. You can load on Claude, you can load 5 docs. There's a limit on memory size on ChatGPT, but they want you to load the docs for your experience. And I think as soon as you understand that, you're like, okay, the second part of this, when you do this, this is so important. I've done it both ways. You need to have this little visual that the AI is always behind you. You would never let an intern email your client. You wouldn't let them talk to them, right? So in every instance, you have to think of the output as base copy. It's a starting point. AI did the mundane work, but now you have to enrich the content. You have to bring in your brand. You have to bring in your own work. The way that I kind of look at it, to use a blog post as an example, and I've done thousands and thousands of blog posts. It used to take you 4 hours, sit down to write it. AI can write a blog post in 30 seconds or less. It's crap. That's okay. I still have a 4-hour process, but AI generates my first draft of 2000 words. And I have a series of linear prompts that do that. Then I get to work. So what's happened is 2 years ago, I'd make a blog post that was 500 words long and I'd pay $500 for it. Today, my average piece of content that I put out is 2,500 words, probably has a video clip in it from somebody that I talked to, has the outbound links, interlinks, and is fully SEO optimized in less time and less money. So I didn't use AI to replace the work. I let it minimize the stuff I didn't want to do, the research and the stress. And then with it on my team, I was able to produce better content, right? And so it's got to be behind you, and it's only one player on your team. Do not think, I don't care how advanced it gets later, and for everyone who's, AI haters, it's not going to replace people. It is not going to write a good blog post. It is not going to make a magical social media post. It's just not. But goddamn, it can help you. that's the key. And if you learn how to interact with it and bring it on your team, put it behind you and let it do the dirty work like an intern would do, that is how to use it today.
Love that. Okay. So you've still got to go in and personalize it, put your own spin on it and put your own wording in there. So it's not just AI, whatever. But there are people out there for SEO purposes alone, will just let it go, put the post out there, put the blog out, put the whatever without personalization just to get the hits on the SEO. And again, it's not personalized. It's not your brand necessarily. It's just slapped your logo on it, on Facebook or on LinkedIn, or maybe it's a YouTube thing, or maybe it's a whatever, a blog. So there are people that do that, and there is some people having success with that, correct?
Oh, yeah, there are.
Okay.
Back in the days, you could buy and build links to your website for SEO, and it became a very spammy business. Google addressed that through their Penguin, Panda, and Hummingbird algorithms of the late 1990s, early 2000s, or late 2000s. Okay, so what Google just did last month, they rolled out a core update and it's called the Helpful Content Update. They are not targeting AI. Google does not hate AI. That's not the problem. Their argument is whether you use AI, you completely write this as a human or a combination, is the content useful? Okay, so the guys who are spinning out AI and they're getting traffic in the short term, Google cannot allow, they will go out of business if they allow spun up AI content to work for more than about a year. So it'll work for a while, but they are out there to say, okay, there's two ways they're going to helpful content update. They cleaned out about 30% of the search engine results and they got rid of unhelpful content, whether it was AI or human generated. The other thing they did is they are testing right now, and they're about 3 or 4 months behind, generative search. There will be a part of the searches that we are used to results coming up that will go away because they won't answer it themselves with AI. So there's going to be queries. You know how in the old days you could do a query for a sports score and you go off to ESPN. Well, now Google just shows it to you. Same thing with travel, same thing with hotels, same thing with products. What Google's going to do is they're going to answer a lot of this easy stuff using AI because it ain't helpful to send them somewhere, just like it wasn't helpful to send you to ESPN. Google could tell you the score. If Google can answer it through AI, they're going to. So between those two things, getting rid of the junk that's not helpful in the database, the Google search index, and going ahead and just answering the question, they're going to close up that this opportunity that exists at the moment. So that's why I say don't do it. Helpful content, long form content, even the real person, right? Like you and I talking right now, we can make a blog post out of this. It's great.
Yeah. But
the richness of this conversation is going to be what wins long term.
100%.
Right? Yeah. So, I mean, you've got to think about real conversations, real connection, and being helpful. Let AI do your busy work, but you better be putting out helpful content.
Okay, so this is fantastic already. So day-to-day work that could be enhanced or could be expedited by AI in an insurance agency.
Yeah.
Where could they start there? We've talked about some blog posts and maybe even creating an email, but is there anything else that like you think there's some use cases you've seen that could help in an agency?
Most of the time, I start looking for when I get into just a pure business conversation. I had one today actually. It's sales, so it's not marketing, but it was a business problem.
Sure.
This particular small business owner, he's got somebody making outbound calls, right? And he wants them to say certain things. How can he use AI to make sure that he's saying these things? So I had him write down what he wanted said. It was about 3 pages, and then he started recording his calls. And the recording spun off a transcript. So let's say we have 50 transcripts. Now I have 2 points of data. And this is what's key because you got to have the data. And I can give you other examples. I said, analyze these 50 sales calls to see how often they followed the script written by the owner.
Oh, okay.
Churn. About 25% of the time. That's about what I expected.
Yeah.
Right? Because they go into training, they learn what they're supposed to say. They're on the phone. Ain't nobody going to listen to every phone call to see if they actually said it. That's the kind of thing that AI can do.
I like that.
In a big case insurance situation, and this is with a large life insurance company. I know they're doing this because I've talked to them about it. When you hit the customer service line, AI goes to work and it's behind the corporate firewall. It's looking at not only your policy and your customer data, but once it knows the type of policy you have, it starts to pull up those individual policies in anticipation of what you might be calling about based on the policies you have and things that they're teaching it, renewal dates, payment history, previous conversations. By the time you get to the service rep, AI already has tried to make an attempt to know what it is you're calling about to help service the agent. I mean, the service rep, right? So when you start thinking about these different use cases, you know, even from a prospecting, or you mentioned, I think maybe you did, or it's in my head, you talk about maybe mailing out or looking at your current customer base. Now, privacy issues aside, got to be careful with what you load into ChatGPT, but there's ways to protect the data that you upload. I've used it to discover trends and insights into my customer profile. If I'm a large enough agency, I could look into the CRM and figure out who's coming up for renewal and then personalize that outreach. Maybe the AI is not doing the outreach, but you know, instead of having somebody go in and find the 7 people that I need to call, let AI find it for you. The key.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
As far as security goes, you may not be able to load the names, but you could load the policy number possibly in there and still be protected. And they could read the policy number information without using specific names and phone numbers or whatnot.
Exactly.
I think you could figure out a way to do it that way, I would imagine.
You sure can. And let me introduce this concept for anybody who wants to try to do this. What you do is you get an in-between service. These exist because this is a problem everywhere. It will redact and clean up any personal information, but on its way to ChatGPT and back. So, and this is kind of how Facebook works. Like you don't know, and how Google Analytics works. You don't know the actual person you're marketing to. Facebook acts as a proxy. You tell it what you're looking for, and then Facebook finds it. So using this third-party service, they act as a firewall in between. You know the exact person's name. They give it a token. They send it off to ChatGPT. They get the information back. They remap it together and give it to you. This in-between proxy, you don't have to do all this manipulation. It's a quick little service to protect the privacy, because it is one of the most important things to do when you're interacting with AI, because it's common knowledge once you put it into AI, right? There's a cottage industry popping up. Just, okay, this is how you get in and out of AI, and it's not hard. Like, it plugs right into ChatGPT, and it just acts on an inbound, much like an internet router would work, or a firewall, you know, that keeps you from getting, it protects your security. The same thing's happening between your prompts, yeah, your data, and ChatGPT. So if there is a problem like this, trust me, someone's out there solving it, because, you know, they can make money by solving the problem.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I love that, especially when you talk about some of this. You know, there are some people and some use cases to where, like, for example, my kids at school, you know, they can't write a paper fully written by AI anymore, or generative AI, because now the teachers are seeing that as that. So now they run it through their own AI to figure out how much that was written by.
Absolutely.
So, but there's always going to be a way around it, and a way to figure it out, and a way to fix it. But again, back to your point earlier, let them do the heavy lifting, and you come in and personalize it and change a few things here and there, put some periods in different places or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So you could do that. And so I love these use cases, and I can't believe we're already running low on time, but we talked through some of this. You know, the next thing, you know, that I have people talk to me about when they're using and talking about generative AI, you know, is, you know, social media, marketing. I know that's kind of your expertise and what you get into it. So now that we've gotten them started to where they understand it, they've played with it, they've done some of that. Now, if they wanted to create some content, whether it be, you know, beyond blogs and getting the actual social posts, and, you know, do you create different prompts, different things for LinkedIn versus Instagram versus Facebook versus Twitter?
Absolutely. Yeah, what you have to think about here in the guidelines you have to load, and I'll kind of digress for a second, to understand what to do on each social media platform, you need to understand the intent of the platform, okay? If I'm going to do something on Reddit, gosh, that is way different than TikTok, than LinkedIn, than, right? So really understand what's happening on the platform. Why do people go there? So you're going to need to load and think about that differently. When you get into your content calendar, generative AI is better at copy than it is images at the moment. The images are coming along fast. But when it comes to copy, what I find myself using it most for is generating the hook and then writing the supporting data with my tone and voice, with the platform understanding. So let's just say that I did a blog post, or if I want to go into social media, the prompt I use for a LinkedIn, including the length, is going to be different than Twitter. But I mean, these are quick to work through. But the key when you think about this is keep it behind you. You need to have the idea. You need to have it. But man, it can, like, I've seen, I put in front of it, like, come up with three hooks. And then I pick one. It's like, wow, that I would never came up with myself. And it got a 3% click-through rate. Man, that's great. That was better than what I was getting before. I'm getting better engagement. I did this thing and it just way too many emojis. Like, LinkedIn even got mad at me. Okay, I need to instruct it. Don't be so emoji focused. But these different ways that you interact with it, you can get through your social media calendar very, very quickly. Okay. And that type of copy and just having a fresh look, because we get into our own habit, and AI can be like that person that we can conversate with without having to use, you know, a human connection to give us new ideas. But when you do that, what is your tone and voice? What's your personality? What are your guidelines? Who's your target audience? You got it. You got to go back and load this stuff over and over and over again. But you could sit down.
It's almost like the fundamentals. You're talking about the fundamentals.
Yeah.
You know, going back to sports analogies. But yeah, so the fundamentals is your audience, your tone, your voice.
Right. And then application. Right. And if you're going to LinkedIn, that's a little different than going into Twitter. I mean, even just the length of the piece. So with all that, though, this is all tactical discussion. What AI can really help with is helping you develop the strategy. Okay. What I tend to tell people, whether you're doing blog posts or social media, what is your overall content strategy? And you tend to need to have three at a minimum to build your calendars, okay? One is usually your subject matter expertise, which in this case is insurance, which could be life insurance, health insurance, home, whatever it is, right? You need to talk about that, but you talk about it a very specific way based on how you're specialized. That's one stream of your content. Okay. Yeah. You just got to be there. You have to establish authority and expertise. Just have to. Okay. Then the next thing usually becomes real life, right? Yeah. So say as an insurance agent, in some capacity, you're involved in the community. You just are.
Yeah.
Whether that's a homeowner that buys a home in the community and you're there the first day and snap a picture, you put up a booth at a 10K, whatever it is, you got to bring, okay, so now you have I'm an expert insurance agent, layer one. Number two, I'm active in the community. That's your second layer. I don't care how it shows up. Web page, social media, I need to see it. And AI can help you with that. Last piece, why?
Yeah.
What is your secret sauce? This is where you say, this is where you're true, and it's the hardest part. It's the last mile. It's 10% of your content. But why is someone going to pick you and your agency? It's got to shine at the tip of your iceberg after you've established yourself as an authority, after you show that you're a good person and support the community. Why? And you only have one shot at this. It's usually one thing. And you got to make that crystal clear. And it's got to show up. You can't just say on the phone. It's got to show up on your website. Yeah. It's got to show up in your social media. I got to be able to see it.
Yeah.
That's how I think about content. And when you get into that, you can start saying, ooh, well, AI can definitely help me look smarter. It can definitely help me, I don't know, find different things that are going on in the community. Like, it can do this for you. And then when you hone in and you say, where is my true expertise? I've helped people use AI to write guides and eBooks around their specific thing they specialize in. So for example, let's say, I'm just making this up, you specialize in hazard insurance in flood areas.
Yeah.
Great. Tell me everything you know about that. Make sure that I clearly understand it. Do you speak about it? Do people seek out your advice? Is that what you're putting on LinkedIn? I want you to be the hazard insurance for flood areas, number one authority in the world. Yeah, you need a baseline, right? Like that. That's that last piece of content. Now, there are other streams that I have people think about, but you can use AI to come up and help you develop out the strategy, because most people, they get stuck with, I don't know how to write this down. Well, then give AI some bad prompts, let it write it down, step away for a week, go away for the weekend, and then modify it. But now you have your three waves of content
that you
can build your calendar on. And then you can tell AI, give it the wave and say, write me a fake editorial calendar. Now you have a general baseline, then you go into each one and then you fine tune each post. That's a beginning to end process, but you can kind of see, like, you had to do some work to get there. You can't just turn the whole thing over to AI. But gosh, what I found is that what I just described, if I wanted 60 days of content based on three waves on my persona, business, and tone and voice, that's a $10,000 project. It'll take 50 hours with AI. If you knew all the buttons to push, which you don't know today, you do it in 5 hours.
Yeah.
That is the reduction of time, right? And what I was going to say earlier on, when people are trying to solve this, seek out in your industry or in your area, and if not, you can't get either one of those, early adopters of AI. I'm in a group of 100 AI activists. We met yesterday. Five people just presented their ideas, things I never thought of. The reason that I go to them is that they've already kind of solved the problem. So I don't have to spend 10 hours finding that redaction tool. I don't have to spend a bunch of time figuring out how to hook up to a specific CRM. Somebody else has already done it. So go ask them. They'll tell you. Most of the people that are learning about AI right now are more than eager to share with you. So take the use case to them and say, hey, save me some time. Point me in the right direction. They'll point you to the best of breed tools. And most of the tools are not that expensive right now. That way you're not banging your head against the wall. You're not spending all your time with a tool that doesn't work, right? Right on the shoulders of people that have already kind of figured it out. And you're going to find them at your trade shows, at the local industry associations, other insurance agents. You got people you can turn to. Go to them. They'll help you with this stuff. Just kind of tell them what you're trying to do and start interacting with them. Do not go to Google and start typing AI redaction tool, and like you're at the randomness you're going to get in luck of the draw. Only 20% of the time when I test a tool does it work. So right. Please use those 20%. Don't use
100%. Yeah, love that. One other quick question before we get into the closing here. I do wanted to ask you. Okay, so and I'm a commercial insurance guy at heart, and you think about this. A lot of commercial insurance clients of mine, that you could get credits and discounts if you had training manuals, if you had employee handbooks, if you had things of that nature. AI could be used to build these tools.
Oh, absolutely.
That you could provide to your clients that, you personalize it, obviously. Mm-hmm. You could say, hey, you could start with a simple prompt of, I need to write a handbook for a HVAC company or a roofer or a plumbing company, a marketing company for that matter.
Right.
And then, put their logo in it, play with it a little bit from there. Mm-hmm. And then you've got your client a 10% credit, for their insurance.
There you go. Absolutely love that. So if that is the use case and the desire, and you find somebody who can, whether you do it or you find somebody who can kind of play with AI, I mean, you probably could come up with a working process or prototype on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Right.
Same thing within your own agency. If you need to build training manuals, if you need to build employee handbooks, mm-hmm. you could start right out of the box with your agency using AI. If you're a first-time new agency owner, and you could build out processes, you could build out workflows.
Yeah.
You could do a lot of internal stuff, not even external marketing, but internal processes right there.
Right. So the one thing that I'll tell people, though, let's talk about business automation. You either automate in business or you don't.
Yeah, there's no middle ground.
Right. If you try AI, don't introduce AI and business automation at the same time. Right. Like in the sales world, don't change your sales process and a CRM at the same time. So with it, just, stay in a box. Like, you can use AI to make the things you're talking about. When you get into this world, though, there's all kinds of options. And then people want to address their process, one thing at a time. If you do too much at once, it's going to overwhelm you. Things are going to break and you're going to get frustrated. And you will not be able to stay the course. You need to be able to do this for the next 24 months, because so much is changing. So, figure out what you can do, not in a daily practice, but maybe on a weekly, monthly practice, to play with some use cases and do some things. And if you do get hyper-focused on something like a manual or some type of thing that'll really hone in and get that right, don't do it half-ass and then jump to something else. I do that, and it does not work. When I stay focused on one thing and see it to the end, good. Now I have that, and I can do another one, another one, another one.
Yeah.
But it is going to be slow and steady wins the race here. This is going to be a long road. It's probably going to be 3 to 5 years of a lot of change. But you got to get through this next year or two, and then I think you'll be okay.
Awesome. My man, Chuck, tell me a little bit more about, as we wrap up, tell me about Taimu. Tell me about your agency. Tell me about, if anybody listening to this wanted to pick your brain, wanted to talk to you, wanted to get some consulting from you or some ideas, or just ask you questions, tell them a little bit about Taimu. Tell them about maybe how they could find you, anything like that. Take the last couple minutes here to get into you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I like to call it, my day job is my consulting business, where I help people with digital marketing. And I use AI in every bit of that process. That is what happens with Taimu and my personal consulting agency, which is under the moniker of CIA. My middle initial is Isaac. CIA is a recognizable initial. So chuckakins.com, you'll see CIA. Because people can remember that. I will consult and advise on almost anything related to AI marketing and business. But the bread and butter is in the digital marketing space. That could be paid search, content strategy, blogging, social media, whatever it might be there. So if you do have that need, I will work with smaller companies and large companies, project-based, retainer-based. But I only have to pay my bills. So after my day job is over, my entrepreneurship and creator mentality, I've developed some courses that help people through some of this. I will run workshops. I'll just jump on the call and talk with you for a half hour because it helps me sharpen the saw to hear your use case. So if you can get to taimu.com, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm more than happy to, you know, chat and talk about things. But being a solo guy out there, I can do that. I don't have mouths to feed. I did that for, you know, for 15 years. So, reach out. If you want to talk, about things, I'm available for hire for marketing, but, I'm really on this journey right now to understand how to best leverage this next realm of technology. And this is so much different than the social media wave or the search algorithms of the past. This is transformational for people personally in the stress it will reduce and the productivity they can gain. And then they can apply it to their business and growing their business. And I am not going to solve the corporate America problems. That's for the technology teams to figure out. I love working with small to medium sized businesses and say, okay, how can I leverage AI to grow and see success? And when you say I can do some of that with AI, I can do some of that with marketing, I can do some of that with business ops. I mean, I'll help in any range there, but my passion and love is helping people through that transformation to leverage this technology to have a better life. So reach out to me, find me on Taimu. If you made it this far in it, but that's it. We'll figure out a way for me to get paid. Don't worry about that. I'll do that. I'm okay on that end. Yes, I charge for my services, but I don't have a sign up for this at $1,000 a month or sign up for that.
Right. Like
we'll talk. The more complicated and the more of an uphill challenge it is, the more you're going to excite me. So if you have one of those, a great idea, a big challenge, a complicated endeavor, yeah, reach out to me. That is my jam. So I get bored with the easy stuff.
Yeah. And I would imagine as a bonus, being from the mortgage industry, you might even be able to help them to get more referral partners in mortgage lenders.
Oh, absolutely. Or really, whatever it is. I mean, I always am about how do you get referrals? How do you build your network?
Yeah.
That's why I tell people to put out thought leadership. I mean, you and I now know each other because you came across me somehow, because I was putting out decent
content.
Stuff, right?
Yeah.
Right? So
100%.
Yeah, that's how it works. So put out good content, network, and grow your business.
Perfect. Brother, man, I appreciate you hanging out. I appreciate you joining us in Insurance Town.
Okay,
and, hopefully we can talk again real soon. Man, I appreciate it. Have a great day.